Once again, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, who are keenly aware that dogs have owners and cats have staff.
This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we've got, in addition to celebrating the anniversary of Preuss Pets, there's another important anniversary that's going to be taking place in the next week, and that's called Easter. As part of the discussion regarding Easter, it makes a shift to the issue of bunny rabbits, because they're closely affiliated with the holiday, and there's a lot of issues in the pet community that comes up because of the holiday, and that's what we wanted to talk about. So we have with us in the studio Holly Hanzarek, who is the front counter manager and also a reptile and small animal associate with Preuss Pets. Welcome back to the show, Holly.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Holly, can you explain why getting a bunny for Easter may not be the best decision for people to make?
Well, getting a bunny rabbit is a very large commitment. They take a lot of time, they take a lot of energy, and they have a relatively long life expectancy. So it should take the same amount of thought and consideration as adopting a cat or dog. They're going to live anywhere from 7 to 12 years. And that's not something that when the kids, they get it at first and they really enjoy the animal and have a lot of interest in it, and that interest fades. The animals then become the responsibility of the parents, and it's a lot to take on. They need daily grooming and the cage cleaning and everything. So it's definitely something that should be considered and thought about and processed instead of an impulse buy. We really don't want to encourage the impulse buy. And Easter tends to encourage that. It's the time where everybody thinks, oh, they're so cute, and they pick them up, and it's not always as thought out as it should be.
Well, and one of the reasons why that might be so is I've actually had people tell me it's not a big deal because once I've got that bunny rabbit, I see rabbits in the wild all the time. I can just set it loose in the country and it'll do just fine. That isn't the case, is it?
No, domesticated rabbits just aren't designed to survive, especially a lot of the breeds that are specialty breeds that people are developing just can't survive with our temperature and our climate. They're either bred to live in air-conditioned areas and they can get heat stroke. They don't understand when they live in a house with a dog or a cat or, you know, large parrots and things, and they get kind of accustomed to these large animals that would normally be prey as being, you know, almost like a friend. They interact with them on a daily basis. They lose those instincts. So you put them out in the wild then, even after only being in your home for a few months, and they very easily fall prey to any of the, you know, local wildlife and heat stroke and just lack of being able to forage properly. They're used to that food sitting in a bowl right in front of them and a manger full of hay and things like that. And so they just don't know where to go to look for what they need to survive.
So Holly, one thing I was thinking about when I'm sitting here, though, is that I do know of, like, I don't know, a series of, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 customers for whom come back and talk to us about their rabbit, and they just have an incredible relationship. Maybe what we could talk a little bit about is, you know, what kind of relationship for the committed family a rabbit brings to the family.
Oh, they're definitely amazing pets. I don't want anyone to think that I am referring to them as unintelligent. While they are not suited to survive in the wild, they are still a very, very intelligent creature. They can learn to be litter box trained. They can learn what's appropriate to gnaw and what's not appropriate to gnaw. They have ways of communication. A lot of times if you're holding a bunny or you're sitting on the ground and he comes up to you and they rub their chin across you and they kind of scent mark you with the glands under their neck, you know, you're mine, okay, I like you. And then they go up and they find something else they really like in the house and they rub across that. All right, this smells like me now, this is mine. And they claim what's theirs. And you can tell when they're upset. You can tell when they're excited. They're emotional, just like your cat or your dog is. They get excited to see you. They communicate with you. They have a child in the home who, I guess, respects the bounds that goes along with owning a rabbit. It's a very rewarding relationship. You can feed them, you know, fresh greens on a regular basis, and they come up and they'll eat it right out of your hand and interact with you. A lot of them enjoy being groomed and brushed, and that just regular interaction can be really rewarding, and it's a nice relationship that can develop, but it's a lot of commitment. So the families that are willing to make that commitment and who want to bring that into their lives, I don't know anyone who has a bunny that is, you know, a major part of their life that doesn't enjoy every day with that rabbit in their home. You know, so it's definitely a very rewarding relationship. It's a lot like a cat or a dog. They have, you know, lots of personality, just having the commitment to take care of them for a long time. Most people are looking for a 2-3 year pet, in which case I always recommend rats for small children.
Sure.
Very good pet. But the bunny is a little bit longer commitment. You have to think about if the child's moving away and going to college sometime soon. That then now that's mom and dad's pet. So it definitely things to consider before picking up a bunny for an Easter present.
So always thinking of it as like the family pet for whom one particular person might have an emphasis on, but it just like anything, it becomes part of that family network of companionship. And if everybody's ignoring it but one, then it doesn't create the same positive relationship you can get if you have everybody kind of getting behind it.
Yeah, and bunnies that aren't, you know, I guess given things to do, then can become destructive. If they're not, they need things to forage on, their teeth constantly grow. So if they don't have things to gnaw on, they don't have ways to express their energy, something to do on a regular basis, and you're just leaving them in a cage with no stimulation and no exercise, at which point they become destructive. They can chew through plastic cages. They can chew their litter pans. They can chew their food dishes. When you do let them out, they definitely are gnawers by nature. So you have to watch out for, you know, your floorboard, the areas around your walls and things and the door jams, because if they're not, you know, trained on what's acceptable and what's not, they can be destructive in that way. But and with just mild supervision and a good amount of interest, all those issues can be avoided.
Sure. And talk a little bit about from a body shape point, you know, they don't have the same typical small legs that a guinea pig or a rat would have. They have these very, very large hind legs. What kind of pluses and minuses that when you're thinking about anything from in these really long feet, from cage design to how you handle them to what potential issues you might have around that? Maybe comment a little bit about their beautiful hindquarters.
Well, my favorite plus side is just how cute they are. If you ever pick up a bunny and you fold them in half and their feet go up like above their head, and so they got two ears sticking up and then two giant feet next to it. That's about the cutest image you can ever see. But on the negative side of those nice large back feet, they don't always enjoy being handled. If they're being held in a way that their feet aren't being supported, it's a foreign concept for them. You're taking an animal that spends all their time on the ground with 4 feet firmly planted, and you hold them up in the air, and they don't, all of a sudden they don't feel ground. That can induce a lot of panic with them. So they can kick. They have quite strong musculature in their back legs. So when they're kicking and their nails are going, you know, small children, even myself, can get scratched, and I handle them all the time. But you know, if a dog walks by and I'm holding a bunny that's not used to them and they get nervous, I'm very liable to get scratched by it. But it helps them quite a bit. They're funny with their back feet. They communicate with you when you walk in the room. A lot of times they'll thump that back foot really hard, like, hey, look at me, I want this, you
they
know
do.
I want some parsley, I want a carrot, where's my hay, I haven't gotten any hay yet today. And so the thumping is quite entertaining as well.
It's kind of intense. It's kind of like a real hit, and it's just like, yeah, you do mean something, you know.
Yeah, it's loud. It's usually followed by some kind of prancing and contorting their body around as they run around the cage in a circle and
sounds
demand
like
your attention.
Sounds like a plan to me. I think that's a good way to go. We're talking this morning with Holly Hanzarek, who is the front counter manager and a small animal associate at Peru's. Holly, you mentioned exercise, and that really intrigues me, because the thought of how do you exercise a rabbit comes to mind, because I don't think that our friend Rich Johnson has invented an invisible fence device to keep them in. And so I guess I'm wondering, how do you get them the kind of exercise that they need? Because I've got to imagine, just like dogs, you said, if they don't get it, then they're going to take it out on something else. So how do you do it?
Yeah, there's a few ways to exercise them. First thing that comes to mind is most rabbits are very easily litter box trained, so letting them roam through your own home, like I said, with a little bit of supervision, that can be perfectly acceptable. A lot of people choose to leave the cage on the floor and build some kind of a ramp to which the animal can get in and out of the cage on their own and access their litter box, and they will actually go back. They have the habit to go back to the same place to go to the bathroom all the time, and once they realize that that acceptable place is the litter box, they will go back into their own cage, find their litter box, go to the bathroom, come back out, and continue roaming around the home. So that's an excellent way to get exercise. They can also be put on a leash or a harness. A lot of people will kind of harness train them. They don't walk in the same manner that a dog will. They kind of just hop around and you follow them versus you kind of guide your dog and you follow a certain area. But leaving them outside to get exercise on their own is definitely not something I would recommend, besides the fact that certain pens and enclosures, if they're in direct sunlight for a long period of time, can cause a heat stress. If it's not an enclosure that has a lid of some sort, you then leave them open to prey for things like hawks. That is a natural, you know, food source for them. Local foxes, anything like that can come off and pick out a rabbit right from in your backyard and make it a prey item. But I definitely recommend mostly playtime in the home and supervised, and you can take the litter pan out and put multiple litter pans throughout the house and they'll find them. They know where they are.
Well, it's just interesting because I think about frisbees probably won't work and ball chasing probably doesn't work.
Yeah, that natural curiosity kicks in there. They want to look around. They want to see what's up. They want to go out and smell everything and mark their area and rub their chin all over your couch and stuff. So they entertain themselves once they get out. But they do play with things. You can do cat toys with like a plastic ball with a bell inside. They like to throw those around, or a little wooden top with something, you know, creative coming out of the top of it, and papers and things for them to shred and put that out, and they'll chase them around and gnaw them, and they throw them over their shoulder and then run around and find them again. So they can entertain themselves too, and just natural curiosity will take care of a lot of that energy expenditure.
Interesting. Holly, you seem to know an awful lot about this. What's your background in terms of how do you know so much about these animals? Is it all just from working at Pruce?
Well, I've had a lifetime of interest, I guess, in animals. I had bunnies growing up as a kid, and then I went to MSU and graduated with my degree in animal sciences, and then I started working at Pruce almost 4 years ago, so I picked up a lot everywhere, I guess, along the way, and just curiosity on my own part, so I'm always interested in expanding my knowledge.
Maybe talk a little bit about Michael and how he brings these animals in and what kind of precautions he takes and makes sure that they're doing well, because I think that's really commendable and it would be great to hear it from you.
Yeah, we have an amazing manager in the reptile small animal department. His name is Michael, and he, I guess, I don't even know how to describe his relationship with the animals. He's very, very in tune with them, and he does a really good job at being able to pick out ones that are ill or having any issues. All of our animals come into the building, especially the rabbits from private local breeders. A lot of the kids who breed for 4-H and things like that, we get animals from them that maybe aren't show quality but are still extremely healthy. They might just have a wrong coat pattern or something, you know, and we find an outlet as pet homes for those. They go through a minimum of a week to 2 weeks quarantine process in our store. As soon as they come in, they're separated by gender, so we don't have to worry about any behaviors occurring that we don't want to occur.
Yeah, they breed like rabbits.
Yeah, you got to be careful with those ones. They're sneaky about it. So, of course, they're separated. They get a lot of attention. He does all the grooming right in the store. After you purchase a bunny from us, you can always bring it back for the lifetime of that animal, and he'll do grooming. He does nail trims, deals with all the brushings and fur shedding and stuff like that. So he does an amazing job. All of our bunnies get a stool sample sent out to our vet at Cedar Creek Vet Clinic and checked out before they go home. So we put a lot of energy making sure they're healthy, and Michael's definitely the one who leads the way and sets the bar on that.
Holly, is that the reason why you work at Pruce?
Michael?
Well, just
I don't know about that.
Just the procedures, the way they handle the animals?
Yeah, I don't think I could work anywhere in which I couldn't take a lot of pride in the way that we take care of our animals. I can definitely take pride in the way that we care for all the animals and the amount of energy we're allowed to put into them and vet care. And I've never worked anywhere else in which I can say, all right, this animal's sick, I'm taking him to the vet. And Rick's like, all right, if you have to do it, go ahead and do it, and we'll make it work. And however much it takes to keep the animal healthy, we're willing to put it in. So I love that aspect of the story.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing the information you did. We've been speaking this morning with Holly Hanzurek, who is a front counter manager and works in the reptile and small animal department at Pruce Pets. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation right after the break, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
You